We basically have four acrostics. And, of course, the church has been using acrostics for 2,000 years. One of the first one was ichthus, the Greek word for fish, Jesus Christ, Savior, Son of God. And so in the same way, we use some very simple acrostics. The first one is we call the SOG plan, S-O-G. And that is the overarching acrostic that in any relational situation, we should try to be self-aware, other-aware, and most importantly, God-aware. And then we have three other acrostics that help us practice these skills, even more specifically focusing on one of those three regions. So, for example, to become more God-aware and God-engaging, we want to follow a reliable GPS, God Positioning System. And that stands for, in any situation, our goal should be to glorify God, to be pursuing God, a deeper knowledge and understanding of His grace, His character, and then to serve God, to imitate Jesus, where He said, the one who sent me is with me. He's never left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. And if you use that as your GPS in life, it'll keep you on course much better than just bouncing around by worldly values and desires. The acrostic we use for becoming more self-aware and self-engaging is to read, R-E-A-D, read yourself accurately. And that stands for recognize your emotions and name them. That engages your whole brain when you actually name something. To evaluate the source. Why do I feel this way? What's going on inside of me? What's the desire that's driving me and possibly leading me astray? A stands for anticipate the consequences. What if I give in to this desire? Let's say I'm really unhappy with my boss. If I storm into his office and give him a piece of my mind, I may be standing outside on the sidewalk shortly. And then finally, the last one, D, is to direct that emotion in a constructive direction. How do we channel the power of our emotions? It's like wind in the sail of a sailboat. How do we take that power, and rather than being capsized by our emotions, how do we use it to actually propel us forward in our relationships? And then finally, the last acrostic is what we call serve. If you want to be more other-aware and other-engaging, serve, S-E-R-V-E, every person you meet. And that stands for five other relational skills, which is to smile. And there's a lot of significance to a smile. It's not a small thing. To explore and empathize, to ask questions, get to know people, show empathy, to reconcile with people if we sense that there's a breach in our relationship or we see some friends who may have some conflict, or most importantly, can we share the gospel and reconcile people to God? Fourth one is V, is to value, is to show appreciation and respect and admiration for other people. And then finally, encourage is to put wind under their wings, that when people have engaged us, whether it's just passing in the terminal in the airport where we just smile pleasantly at somebody or where we sit down and spend an hour talking to somebody who's hurting, whatever situation we're in, our goal is at the end of that conversation, people feel they're like an eagle who's caught an updraft and there's wind under their wings. So as people live out those four basic acrostics, it can radically change their relationships.
You talked about engaging your whole brain. Kind of go back and say a little bit more about that, especially as I guess it relates to our emotions. Maybe we're not always thinking clearly when we're thinking emotionally.
Oh, boy, I could give you story after story of that in my own life. Yeah, there's just some fascinating studies. This is where there's a lot of benefit of studying what the emotional intelligence people are coming up with, is when we become intensely emotional, it's like your computer processing a very big program. Your central processing unit is so taken up processing that one program that it doesn't have processing ability left over for something else that you're doing. And you have to wait. And your brain is the same way. It's got a limited capacity to handle data and sensations and energy. So when you're intensely emotional, the limbic part of your brain, and particularly the amygdala, which is sort of your emotional filing cabinet, gets so active, it can overpower and actually, to some degree, cut out your neocortex. And that's where your rational thinking, your memorized scripture, your life lessons, your logic, your language skills are. And so one of the ways to force your neocortex to get involved, you're feeling very, very emotional, is simply to name the emotions. Okay, what am I feeling now? You can think this or you can even talk to yourself. What am I feeling? I'm feeling angry. The very act of defining that forces that part of your brain to get engaged again, and you start thinking using rational processes and also impulse control, so you don't say and do things. So a lot of our training is actually addressing how do we recognize emotional hijacking, those situations that our emotions hijack are typically our mouth, and then how do we bring those things under the lordship of Christ? My thoughts, emotions, words, and actions are always being used to honor and to please Him.
You talk about the pause principle. I mean, there is something to be said for just being slow to speak and quick to listen.
Absolutely. And the pause principle is another one of our acrostics. And, of course, just the very word is helpful, to pause, to slow down, to think. But there's actual specific steps. So we use the pause principle in negotiating substantive issues, material issues. And basically that stands for preparing. You want to pray, think it through, get your options. You want to affirm the relationship, show respect and concern for other people. You want to understand their interests as well as you understand your own. Paul commands that in Philippians 2:4. He says, look out for their interests as well as your own. And then you can search for creative solutions, think about different ways to meet everybody's needs, and then evaluate those things objectively. So again, it's just a very simple acrostic, but it gathers a wealth of biblical information and even many examples in the Bible of people negotiated in life and death situations.
Are there things that maybe we're not doing now that we can do? I mean, obviously, you know, recognizing our emotions, evaluating their source, anticipating the consequences, you know, directing them to constructive course, that's the read acrostic. But is there a first or second step that we should, if we don't get anything else out of the conversation today, here's one thing that can really make a difference?
Well, I would say, I mean, just those acrostics. I would encourage people to come to our website, and on the front page, there's it says blog topics, and you can go down and you'll see RW acrostics. And there's just some very simple, very concise teaching there to simply take one of those acrostics, whichever one you want to focus on, whether it's becoming more God-aware, self-aware, other-aware, and then just practicing it for, you know, day in and day out. There's a little video we use in our training that just shows how people, we all have a process called selective perception. We go through the day, thousands of data points coming to us. Every time you glance across the room, there's thousands of colors and faces and shapes. And your brain has to process that and screen out the vast majority of information. And we often screen out important information. So learning how to be more sensitive. So when you walk into the office, and one of the assistants is just unusually quiet today. Instead of just walking by because you're consumed with the project you got to get started on, you stop and you say, hey, how are you today? What's going on? And she may say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. But she's really saying, do you care enough to press in? And do you stand there? Do you say, no, what's happening? I can see something's troubling you. That's how we build rich relationships.